Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello, welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm Ben James, and as ever, I'm joined by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Been better. Same. Yeah.
I mean,
been better.
Let's get into the root of those problems here on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we mean the weekend and that defeat to Fulham.
Absolutely, I mean the weekend and the defeat to Fulham. I'm not saying it's something that can't happen. I just think it's, you know, mate, I've fought relegation when I first came into the Cardiff side. I signed for Sheffield United, relegation battle. Signed for Bolton the same, and signed for Blackburn, which we're never going to get out of it at Blackburn because the dressing room was so rank. So I know all about relegation and fighting against it. I didn't get out of it enough times. But I got experience of it, and I can honestly say each game we went into, yeah, we gave it a good go. But Cardiff on the weekend, I felt... One, I was surprised at selection. Two, I was surprised at selection of the bench. Three, no disrespect to Reece, but where does that come from? Yeah. Why?
That's Reece either, you mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't cut off your nose to spite your face at this stage of the season. You know, Cardiff took a teddy bear to a gunfight, basically. That's how it looked. And if the manager, I read Neil's comments, saying that Reece trained well, so what? Yeah. He's not an impact. He's not as much of an impact as the likes of Reed, who should have been on earlier for me, or even starting. He's nowhere near the sort of impact as Murphy. And it's okay having your falling out with the player, but with two games to go, you bury that for the sake of the better of the club, right? Because that could cost you 160 million quid, right? So, there's, you know, and if Neil listens to this, I'm not really bothered. And if he comes attacking, then I will bite back because I've kind of had enough of him being able to just say what he wants on everything positive when it's going well. But if criticism comes his way, he's trying to lock everybody down. Well, I don't get locked down. For one, I speak my mind. If you don't like it, like my mum used to say, take a run and jump, right? Because for me, on the weekend, there was decisions made which weren't for the betterment of the team or the club. It's probably 3,500 fans, maybe 3,500 fans travelled up there on Saturday, waiting for this kind of revolution, this... taking the game by the scruff of the neck, however you want to say it. And it was never forthcoming until the last 10 minutes when Fulham said, okay, we'll sit back, come at us. You know, you're going to Fulham who... And I'm not... I commentated on the game, Ben, and it's not like I'm looking at them and going, these are a team in, you know, full of confidence, flowing. If they played like this before, they would have stayed up. They wouldn't have stayed up playing like that. And that was probably one of their better games. They were there for the take-in, and I think... 3,000 Cardiff fans stood behind the goal. It was evident. It was so evident to me. And yes, we can talk about picking apart the game, possible Morrison should have had a penalty and things like that. But I think the way the game was approached, and I'm not going to dig any individual out holistically, management, team, the way the game was approached, it looked like the fight had gone. If you understand what I mean. It looked like they'd already been relegated and were just playing out. Then when last 10 minutes, three or four chances, and I'm like, well, that's what we was crying out for. You know, you're losing the game. It's 10 minutes to go. Fulham have had 65, 70% of the possession. Fulham? In a game where, at a time where... you know, they're not playing with confidence. Their back line, I think I could have got something out their back line now. and I can't run for longer than 10 minutes on a treadmill, mate. Right? But put me in the middle of that 18-yard box, on the edge of the box, I bully those two now, right? Ream and the other lad. So I was just, I was flabbergasted. I was shocked that, I was just waiting for this explosion, and it was just wet for me. And it was built up to be something. And mate, if you go out, fall on your sword, like, that's my thing. If you're gonna die hard if you're gonna go out. Simple as that. And I think that was the disappointing thing for me. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not pointing the finger at a manager, a coach, a player. I just think holistically, whatever's gone on, I don't understand the decisions that were made from the manager on the team, the structure, the players. I was just, if I'm Bobby Reid, I'm thinking to myself, I must have run over about 2,000 black cats. Slept with about 10 nuns' daughters or something like that. I don't know. He just seemed to be crying out for him, especially the two centre-backs, struggling for confidence, you could see, weren't the quickest. Someone like Reid would have... I honestly believe, and I'm not saying it because it's past, looking at the game, analysing the game, it was like, those boys can be pulled apart. And they have been pulled apart all season.
We knew that because he did it at the Cardiff City Stadium earlier in the
season. Okay, yeah.
So well, we knew Reid could
end of point. Great point, Ben. End of. So that's me. And I just think it was a letdown, let's say that. And you can go out, but like I said, if you're going to die hard. Like.
Yeah. Paul? Wow, I don't think I've ever known Blakey as angry as this.
I'm not angry, Paul. I'm disappointed. I'm deeply disappointed.
Frustration and,
yeah. Because, you know, you never... When the doors open, I was always taught, walk through it. Like, yeah. You know? When someone leaves it ajar, open it and get through it. And Fulham left the door wide open. Listen, worldy goal. But for me... That wouldn't have been much significance if Cardiff would have played how I know they can play then.
So I think that Neil Warnock misread the dynamic of the day. I really do. I think he would admit that himself now.
Mm.
I think that this was all about going there, going for the jugular from the off against a team who were there to be taken apart. And I really think Cardiff could have had the most comfortable win of the season, Blakey.
I agree.
Really do. Cardiff were up for it, they won, that sort of thing. But it was also about putting pressure on Brighton, who had the evening kickoff, drawing level on points, that sort of thing, really piling the pressure on them.
Yeah.
And Cardiff just went into the game like they've been into every game, pretty much every game away from home this season, which is pack the defence, try and keep it 0-0. I think the lack of pace from one or two at the back leads to those tactics as well, Blakey. Mm. Keep it deep and then try and win in the last 20 minutes, final quarter, whatever. But two things. One is that game plan goes out of the window when you go a goal behind. And two, Fulham are not some of those other teams Cardiff have played this season. Fulham were there to be taken from the start. And you could see in those last 10 minutes how Fulham were panicking.
How fragile they were.
Put under pressure.
Absolutely.
How fragile they were. But don't let those last 10 minutes delude you into Cardiff are going down fighting, right? Mm. That should have happened. I'm not saying Cardiff should have thrown Morrison forward and all that. Of course not, right? Mm. But Cardiff should have actually gone for it from the start. And I really think this is 3 points lost at such a pivotal stage of the season. On the substitutions, Danny Ward did well when he came on, right? But with respect, you cannot expect Danny Ward and Reece Healy to come on and turn a must-win Premier League football match your way. You can't. You've got to have other options.
Reece was out
right?
of his depth, fairness, when he came on.
And it's not their fault. I'm not criticizing
them. I'm not.
At least Ward managed to have a few pops at goal,
to be
fair.
He'd done okay when he came on.
But Cardiff have got other options that they should be going for first and foremost. I just think that the manager misread the dynamic of the day. I really do, and I include Brighton into that as well. Yeah, because it's all about the pressure.
Absolutely, I heard him say after the game that Murphy hadn't trained well, and I'm like, I understand. I've been there, right? I've been there in those situations when players aren't training well. If a player is struggling with a bit of confidence, you've got two options. You play him and let him play through that bad period so he gains confidence again. Or you speak to him, pull him out and just say, right, go and have a break and then come back and refresh. But Murphy's not played that many games to be in that situation where it's a tiredness sort of thing. And when he's played, I've said myself, he needs more aggression in his game. But you can't deny that that pace is something to be reckoned with. There's not a lot. That looking at that back line, I was like, even like young Kadeem, I'm thinking like, just put pace on. But what was evident to me, and this is where the fall down comes for Cardiff and the managerial structure, you can't revert to a plan B. As soon as you've gone 1-0 down, you should have gone, whoop, change, bang, right. I tell you what, we'll go three at the back, push another man into midfield. You two, press on their midfield. You, Gunnarsson, you sit, pick up, what's his name, the number 10?
Kearney.
If he's coming deep, pick him up. You two, push into their midfield. Right, wing backs, right, you just fly forward. And you three up top, right, go on. Just go and kill again. Go and press them. Go and put them under pressure for 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. But to do it for 5 minutes plus injury time, 7, 8, 10 minutes at the end, it was like, nah. And that for me is that is the tactical issue of the whole game. And I mean, I'm talking like it's done. Miracles can happen, and I believe in minor miracles. Yeah. But it's going to take a minor miracle for Cardiff to get out of the situation now. To go to beat Palace at home and then to go to Old Trafford and win. You know, even if Old Trafford isn't what it was a decade ago, to go there and win, you know, Man United are not in Huddersfield's situation. Man United are just having a struggle at the moment because they're outside of the top four. Right? Yeah. Still, when the other day when you seen them, you still seen Lukaku at it, Rashford at it, Martial, you know what I mean, Lingard, Just players for fun that can turn a game.
Yeah.
So to think we still got that game in the bank, okay, no problem. That's kind of your fallback situation. But the opportunity was Fulham Palace.
Yeah.
I you might say if it was Fulham away and Huddersfield at home, that would be the perfect scenario. But Fulham away and Palace at home is not far from the perfect scenario, which if I gave you at the start of the season and said, right, win those two games and you stay up.
See, this is where I come back to, I think that the manager misread the dynamic of the day, because I know there's a saying in football, we take one game at a time, and of course you do, totally get that. But this wasn't just about one game, right? This was about drawing level with Brighton to put pressure on them. And even if they then beat Newcastle, you're still very much in the hunt for Palace and Man U after that. But the key was beating Fulham, which was a very winnable game. I actually expected Brighton a draw, which they have done. I thought it'd be 0-0, it was 1-1, right? That would have put Cardiff a point behind, yeah? And then what happens then, I always said next week, the weekend that's coming was the pivotal one when the positions get juxtaposed. That Cardiff can beat Palace with a capacity crowd, the momentum of win at Fulham behind them, the crowd really getting on the back of the Palace players, got nothing to play for. That's got a 1-0, that had a 1-0 Cardiff written all over it for me. Yeah. Brighton would lose at Arsenal. And it's at that point Cardiff then have the ascendancy. I always said that the coming weekend was the key one, where they suddenly have a 2-point ascendancy, and Brighton at home to Man City, Cardiff are away to Man United. Cardiff then have to match Brighton's result on that final day. To me, that was how it was going to happen. And I'm actually a little bit shocked that it hasn't, Blakey. Mm. I know you're asking a lot to expect Cardiff to win back-to-back Premier League games, Fulham and Palace, but I actually thought it was very manageable.
Mm.
And I can't, that's why I think that you can't just take these games in isolation. It is actually...
Well, what you're talking about...
It was
about,
a sequence what you're talking that was about manageable.
Is the momentum swing, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Totally, 100%.
That's exactly what you're talking about. That Fulham game and Brighton playing in the evening, if Cardiff win, or even worst case, get a point,
yep,
right? The momentum is in Cardiff's favour, yep. And then Brighton know they have to try and get a point. If Brighton went into that game knowing, wow, they can only get 3 points now at home, and going to Old Trafford, nah, I doubt it. Whereas Brighton, you want them going to that game thinking, if they win Saturday, they overtake us, or they're a point behind us. If they win Saturday, we're struggling because our last two games, we can't see a win coming.
Yeah.
Right, so it's all about momentum and that mental pressure that you apply from afar. You're not playing them, but what you can do is make sure that your opposition, which is Brighton, feel as much pressure going into those last three games as possible. And I just think you kind of let them off the hook.
And this is what Blakey yeah. describes these things greatly when it comes to the opposition dressing room. Mm. Yeah, I'm talking about Cardiff momentum and the Palace game and all the feel-good factor for Cardiff.
Yeah.
But as Blakey points out, it's all that pressure it then heaps on Brighton and how they could crack under that. And that all becomes part of the... You get a two-point lead going into the final game, and then, you know, you can't see Brighton beating Man City.
Mm.
You know, a point will guarantee at Old Trafford, which is feasible, unlikely, but feasible under those circumstances, will keep you up. But even allowing for that, two defeats would mean that Cardiff stay up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back to it. I find it, you know, I've actually got over it. Blakey's actually letting off steam here about it all. But I guess my steam was let off on Saturday night. I found it incredibly demoralising. It was a wonderful trip to London. Beautiful little ground by the river.
Seen the boys in the services.
Scenic. It was,
had some pictures of them. I was on it. Yeah.
It was lovely. You walk through a park, Bishopston Park, I think it's called, to the ground along the side of the river.
Yeah,
it was
lovely.
All beautiful. Mm. Standing there, you see the river behind. You know, just a nice wind now.
Yeah,
puts the icing on a wonderful day,
well, it wasn't forthcoming, was it?
Yeah.
Do you know? I could have accepted a 4-2 defeat if they'd gone for the Jaguar break. I could have done. It's the frustration.
Like
of
I said, if you're going to die hard, Paul.
Yeah, well,
right?
But if you look at any team in this situation of the season, it's the ones who take risks. Last year, Swansea and Huddersfield, the two teams sort of in contention. There's, I think Swansea had Southampton on a Tuesday, played it timid, lost 2-1. Next night, Huddersfield go to Stamford Bridge, have a go, win some 50-50s, get a 1-1 draw, they stay up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good analogy, and that.
It's a great analogy, yeah.
You talk about pressure on Brighton. Brighton went into that game against Newcastle with literally no pressure on
them. Literally no
pressure. Cardiff had the worst possible result.
Absolutely.
And yet, Chris Hughton still got it wrong, played it passive, and it took them conceding to actually show a bit of fight themselves.
To let the rain off a bit.
It just sort of shows you what a missed opportunity it was for Cardiff.
I mean, like when I'm watching the game, I just had Eddie May ringing in my ear, and he used to say all the time, and he used to dig me out and say, "Son, you got to make it happen. You're waiting for it, but you got to make it." And I just think, why is he on my case all the time? And it's because he knew I could. You can make things happen. Reed can make things happen.
Yeah.
Right? Murphy can make things happen. Hoylett can make things happen. Harris can make things happen. Zahor can make things happen. Right? You got a lot of players who, what I'm talking about is, on their moment, like back a few months ago when Kadim was coming on sub, he was brilliant. Right? And I'm like, please, don't anyone think this is me having to go at Reece Healy or anything like that, right? Because it's not.
It's not fair on him.
It's not fair on him, but that game was crying out for a switch of tactic, a more attacking, a higher press, and pace. And you had pace on the bench you didn't bring on, and you had pace sat at home or sat in the stand, and you brought on players that lacked pace. And in fairness, yeah, Wardy done well when he come on, a few good pop shots and what have you. But I just felt like when Bobby came on, I kind of looking at his body language and thinking, yeah, I would kind of be peeved as well that I've been brought here for 10 million quid and I've never really been given a good run at this. And when I've played well, I've then found myself either out of the team or not even on the bench within a week or two later.
And the other thing is that, and I say nothing in the benefit of hindsight, because I actually tweeted this the morning before the game, which was something along the lines of, listen, whether Bobby Reid can do it against Man United, Liverpool, even Watford, Wolves, Everton, the jury's out on that, yeah, right? And in fact, the answer might be no for the better teams, right? But Fulham is exactly the kind of opposition Bobby Reid would do well against and has done, yeah? You know, a championship type, top end of the championship type standard,
same
right?
Same with Kadeem Harris.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
He got the fourth against Fulham. They both scored earlier in the season against Fulham.
So I was hoping that Reid would start the game, but I didn't for one second think that would be the case. But to then see him overlooked until the 87th minute was eye-opening for me.
Yeah, I think when he jogged on, I don't know, but his face told me a thousand stories. It was almost like, I can't believe I'm coming on one, and I can't believe I'm coming on now when there's literally 6 minutes left of the game. And he got in. He got in, I think, a warmer Bobby Reid when he got in, takes out with his left foot.
Yeah.
You know, and instead of trying to make sure, you can see he was trying to make sure, and then Hoylett, obviously, hits the bar with a chance, trying to be too precise. But, you know, so, but like Paul said, I'm not going to look at that last 10 minutes and go, oh, you know, we were unlucky, could have had a penalty earlier on, blah, blah, blah. I just thought the overall 90 minutes, to go and give Fulham of that quality, you know, some of the passing the ball straight out of touch and things like that. It was just like, they're so, their players were so lacking in confidence, it was unreal. It was so blatant to me. I was like, just take it to him.
Yeah. We said this last week, didn't we? We said, you know,
take it to him. If you lose, you lose. Those Cardiff fans will sing you off. They'll clap you off. Right? They've done it all season. They're with you. But what they want is you to go down fighting. That's Cardiff in a nutshell. If you're going to go, I'm going to have a go. Go in. I'm not going to just lie down and die, basically. If I'm going to die, I'm going to make sure I leave someone on you first, and then I'm going to go. No problem. So, really disappointing for me. Really disappointing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anything to add on that, Paul?
No.
So, I suppose thoughts then turn to this weekend.
Yep.
And probably go and win 3-0.
Looking.
And rue the last week's result. That's the strange craziness of football. Your rule, that's probably what would happen. That's what I'm going to go for. I'll go and win 3-0 against Palace, or 3-1 or something like that. And think, looking back at last week, thinking, what have we done?
Yeah. To be fair, Palace are a good away team, but they're the sort of team that Cardiff could take apart at home. You know, they sort of, the way they set up.
Yeah,
it's like four central midfielders who all like to come quite narrow.
Yeah, they got no.
It plays into sort of,
and everything's into Zaha.
Yeah,
right. And you've got Peltier, who loves to leave some on you. So what you do is first 20 minutes, Lee, just do what you normally do: leave some on him, slow him down, whatever. But leave some on him. Then play the game. He's the main target person, so you have to make sure you target him and make sure, not target him, hurt him, but target him, you rough him up, you make it physical, you make sure there's 2-3 men around him all the time so he can get into his stride, you slow the game down, you speed it up at times, you're at home, I'm talking now like we won Saturday, but it doesn't really matter. No, it's not over, but
it does need something special, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
What's your thoughts, Paul? I know you've got a strike force that you want
to... I have, yeah. And Blakey will not agree with this, but to me now, from here on in, Cardiff City have to pick their best players, right? This is not about who's trained best, which I know, to be fair, is a mantra Blakey's battered before. Or they're not necessarily now. It's not about who's trained best. Or this now is about a very, very short-term goal of trying to win two football matches, which will be enough because I think Brighton will take a maximum of 1 point, even if they get that, yeah? They've got to now try to win two football matches. They cannot win two football matches by being timid, like was the case at Fulham, and playing the way, right? Something tangible has to change, right? And I would now, I would stick with the back four. I think Peltier has played damn well lately, right? I've been a big critic of Peltier, right? Fire, I hold my hands up. The last 2 months, I think, he can still offer more than four. I think he's been outstanding defensively, yeah? So I would actually be comfortable with Peltier, Mark and Zaha, believe it or not, which I wouldn't have been 2 months ago, right? Mm-hmm. I would continue to stick with Gunnarsson, Arta and Camarasa in the midfield to try to get some sort of control.
Camarasa was disappointing.
He was, right? But I would then play two up top, Blakey, right? I would have Mendes as the wide player. I'd play a proper 4-3-3, and I would have Zaha and Reed up top, right? And I say that because it's not for me now about who runs the most or who does this or who does that. No. It's about your best players, right? And to me, we have seen glimpses, albeit sporadically, from Zaha, and we've seen glimpses a little bit more from Reed, right? They are clearly Cardiff's most talented strikers, and for me now, they have to play, and they pretty much have to play the 90 minutes in both games, Nathan, right?
You know, if Neil listens to this podcast, he definitely won't play. Because the way he does it, he'll listen and then have a chip back. He'll have a chip at you, saying, well, we won and you should have played.
I'm not sure that's totally fair, right? He will do what he thinks is right.
Mm.
I just think that, and he won't go for that. I think he'll go for Ward up top, and he'll keep Hoyler and Mendes as wide players, right? I don't think much of him, right? But I just think something tangible now needs to alter, and I think those two offer the best threat of potential goal power. And there's not a jot of evidence to back that up, because Zaha scored one goal this season and Reed scored four, I think,
right?
They're
still top scoring.
They haven't played together, believe it or not, as a strike force. And if we were to rewind to August, you'd have looked at Zaha Reed as your strike force, wouldn't you, realistically? You'd have, if you actually
they would have been,
rewind.
Yeah, if not that, first, that, then second. Yeah,
that probably would have been your strike force.
They would have
force.
Played together at some point for a period, yes.
I think I'm comfortable with any of the wide players. I just think Mendes is looking more menacing than anybody at the moment of the wide players.
Mm.
So I would have him, and I would just go for it. And if they do concede three or four goals on the break to Crystal Palace, it's win or bust time. You might as well gamble now, right?
Yeah.
You know, a draw is no good. Mm. It really isn't. They've got to win two games because of Brighton's superior goal difference.
Yeah.
And I could understand a slightly more conservative approach at Old Trafford, but I would still play Zaha and Reed up top for that one as well. I feel quite strongly about this, to be honest. You can tell that. But
yeah.
I just think that they, and I know that, you know, a lot of Cardiff fans agree with me. A lot of Cardiff fans disagree with me. You know, I have Twitter conversations with some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, question, what on earth have you seen in Zaha? He's offered nothing. But he has. In half an hour against Man United, he showed, as a substitute, he showed what he can do. Against Burnley and setting up that opportunity for Hoyler, he showed what he can do. In other cameos, he's just shown little snippets. And I want to see that now, given a chance to flourish for 90 minutes in these next two games. But Reed has got to play as well because, you know, Blakey, those two have got all the ingredients for a very effective partnership, you know.
Mm.
You know, they're I'm not saying they're little and large, but they've got different qualities. And
if you revert back to pre-season, you were thinking Reed, you were thinking Murphy, you were thinking Zaha, you were thinking Mendes, you were thinking Young Kadeem, I call him young, but he's not young anymore. You're thinking those types of players with Camarasa behind, you know, you're thinking there's some good link-up play can happen here.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really developed throughout the season because no partnership has kind of been allowed to form. Yeah. Now, we know Neil often changed his team last season, but I think this season, it's well, we're at the point of
no return.
no returning. That's at the point of where and I know he was desperate to prove people wrong that he could stay in the Premier League. And, you know, walking away from this season saying, well, you had a good go, isn't walking away saying, see, told you so. You know, it's as simple as that, you know. And I just think whoever now, I was just shocked at the point of thinking, like, I'm just utterly confused.
But given,
because if I'm a manager, I don't allow, and like I wasn't the best trainer because I was a bit too aggressive, so I couldn't train as I played because, you know, you get into scraps with people and you don't want that with your own teammates. So whatever the reason that, you know, he hasn't trained well or blah 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 blah, like I said, you're at the point now, you don't cut off your nose to spite your face. You just go and pick the best players who you think can get you over the line and get you a result. And I just don't think that that happened on the weekend. I'm hoping it happens on Saturday. And then if they win the game Saturday, there is a glimmer.
There is.
That's all you can say. There's a glimmer. You know, stranger things have happened. You know, the way De Gea is going at the moment, he might get lucky and one might bounce over him another nightmare goal. And whether if Cardiff stayed up, it would all still be, the talk would still be about De Gea's mistake. But I don't care. You wouldn't care less, would you?
But this is the frustrating thing. Instead of going to Old Trafford, a draw could be enough. You have to go to Old Trafford
and win.
As Blakey said, whatever mess they're in at the moment, they are still chasing the Champions League spot. They have still got...
Oh, they'll be all at war. They'll go for it.
And Rashford, you see, and Mata.
Well, you've seen what was the last game against?
Chelsea.
Yeah. 1-1, right? And the week before, you thought, oh, they're gone. And there was people at the boys at the BBC, Rob Phillips, were saying, I think we'll go. I think we'll go to Trafford and get up. And I was like, are you mad? You know, at any point of the season, I remember, I think it was Chelsea or Arsenal and lost for like ages, and they went to Old Trafford at that time. Man United, they weren't challenging for the league, but they went and killed it. I think Rio Ferdinand scored twice, I think, if my memory serves me correctly. And they just burst the bubble, Man United. Yeah. Burst all the talk of 51 games, 52 games. They just went and burst it, right? And then I'm sure they won a title the season after. So that's no, you know, don't get it twisted. No matter how bad you think they are, and like I said, some of the boys, those players at that level, playing against how we approach the game, is fairly straightforward. You're not posing us a problem. We know what the game is. You got no real tactical, you don't play through the lines or anything like that. You play wide to your wide players or up to your front man. Nias is running. Nias didn't look like he was struggling Saturday. He never got into the swing of the game, whether he was carrying an injury or what. But
he was so isolated up there.
I felt sorry for him. I felt sorry for him.
Deep.
You know, but I don't know. It's one of those things. I would say, It's not over, but, you know.
See, it is win or bust time now. Yeah. It's gamble time, right? I do think, as I say, Tuchel, you pick your most talented players now because they're the ones who are most likely to win you the game. And everyone will have their own views on who those most talented players are. I personally would go with that front three and try and let them loose. But do you know what? Even if Cardiff beat Palace, there will be that feeling of
should have been a week earlier.
Why didn't they go for the jugular in the previous game? There is that nagging doubt that is still hanging over everybody.
The fans were quiet. I think that said it all. They were rowdy at the beginning. After about 20 minutes, it was like I could feel it, the sense that we kind of don't look up for this.
And then there was that...
We missed Joe Ryles, by the way. We missed that dog in us. Gunnar, in fairness, sat in front of the back four, done well, but looked a bit tired, looked a bit jaded, you know, and he has to do a lot of work because Camarasa is, you know, defensively, that's not his strength, right? So Gunnarsson ended up doing a bit of an extra shift as well. So I just, you know, I just at a loss really. I don't get that sometimes. I don't see the logic in that result or how you approach that game. Don't see how you're looking to win it. It was almost as if they said, let's get a point.
Yeah.
I keep going back to Fulham, don't I? I just can't help it. It's just like, it's just twisted me up, man. It's just proper watching it and commentating on it and have to be so impartial and fair but you're seeing it unfold. It's difficult, man, you know? It's like watching someone beat up your kid brother and thinking, I'm not going to do nothing about it. Do you know what I mean? You'd get in there. But it was hard, mate. It was hard watch, that. Hard watch. Yeah.
Yeah, going back to your tactics, Paul, I've been looking at the way Palace play, and it's probably not the thing we want to talk about, to be honest, but I think the sort of system you say could work. Would you play Mendes on the right then?
The only reason I would play Mendes on the right is because Peltier doesn't get forward, and there will come a point where you need some width
to stretch,
right? And that's more likely to come from Joe Bennett than it is from Peltier.
Because you look at that back four that Palace have got, you've got like Wan-Bissaka on the right, who's
good player.
I thought
Cardiff should have signed.
Yeah,
he's one of the sort of players of the season. You look at the way Everton played last week. Yeah. They tried everything down the left with Richarlison, Bernard, and they didn't get anything out of him.
Mm-hmm. And what's the rest of the back four?
Then you got somebody. You either got like Tompkins or Kelly, Scott Dan, and then you got Patrick Van Aanholt, who defensively is slack.
He's dodgy.
And you've got like Kelly can get done for pace. Yeah. So I think if you sort of
way on the right hand side,
you're way on the right hand side with Mendes.
Take advantage of their left,
and then you say Ken can drift left and go airily
spin
on
one, out. Yeah,
airily on Wan-Bissaka, because that's the one way to get it in, is to go airily.
Yeah.
Then you stretch the centre backs, don't you? And you've got an outlet with Mendes lying over the top. You start winning aerial balls. You can get people like Camarasa, Bobby Reid in those little pockets of space around the centre backs, and then you've got two other midfielders to sort of cut the passing lane, because Palace play really narrow in midfield.
Because
they rely on their fullbacks.
They have to.
I've got to emphasise, I don't think any of this will happen, by the way.
Oh, no.
I think I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Nias up top with Ward pushed wide and maybe Mendes on the other, but we'll possibly Højlund. I don't think this will happen.
No, I don't. And going back to Saturday for the last time, it was like we playing with a back six.
That's
basically what we've done, because our fullbacks were tucked so far in they didn't even come outside the width of the 18-yard box, because you had Højlund on one side and Mendes on the other side, right. And I'm like, they didn't take advantage. Their fullbacks didn't take advantage. And attacking fullbacks, two attacking fullbacks on Saturday, Cardiff would have got destroyed. Yeah. Right? But their fullbacks weren't good enough overlapping or getting enough crosses in Mitrovic, who I never seen attack the ball going into the 18-yard box. I think once. I think he had the chance outside the box where it's broke to him and he's hit the light back shot. But never seen him attack that space of the 18-yard box once. So, you know, it wasn't like, that's what I'm saying, Fulham, they enacted part of a plan, because the three boys rotating behind Mitrovic, Sessegnon basically stayed one side, Kearney come deep a bit, and then Babel was the one who done the most of the movement and rotating. But if they had fullbacks who wanted to get forward and cross the ball, they would have just had chance after chance after chance.
And this is the last thing I'm going to say.
No, I'm not going to say anything about Fulham.
Right, is that I get those tactics, right, in the Premier League, right? You, to be fair to Warnock, you've talked up the incredible work ethic of the wide players, particularly Mendes and Højlund, time and time again.
Always, yeah.
And it's been necessary in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Not for this game. This game, it needed to be an offensive approach to win a game that had to be won. That's my point. Let's move on from Fulham. It's gone.
Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break.
It's gone and I'm gone. Bye.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with Ask Blakey.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Welcome back. It's time for Ask Blakey. He hasn't bolted just yet.
Yeah.
So let's get straight into it.
Let's do it.
First question comes from Wayne Davis.
All right, Wayne, how you doing, mate?
Right, here's the question. Right, I love Neil, but he refuses to change way too late into games. Can you explain why you pick Healy before Reed? I suppose we can just sort of amend that. Just his why.
I asked Rob Phillips to ask him that question on Saturday. I actually said it in commentary. Because that was like the biggest surprise for me this season. Right? And that was a question, and the answer was Murphy didn't train well. Okay, so
what's that got to do with it?
Well, it has got something to do with it, but I'm like, well, just because you say it don't make it true, right? I don't know. It's the truth, Wayne, and as you heard from the first 20 minutes, half hour, it's nothing to do with Reese. It's not his fault. If it was me, I was Reese, I'm going to go on and try and get a goal myself, yeah? And try and claim a bit of hero status. Absolutely. But my opinion, Nathan's opinion, I think if you give me those two players, Reed, Healy and Ward, who am I going to put on first against that defence? It's Reed all day, twice on Sundays. Simple as that. So, Wayne, yeah, I totally agree with what you said. You have to ask that question, but it's for the press boys to ask that question and drill down on it, because it doesn't make any sort of sense to me. I was shocked when I seen him coming on. I was like, okay, you know, he's not played for ages, his match fitness isn't going to be up. Okay, and he was blowing after 10 minutes trying to get his second win, which is understandable, but he wasn't effective, you know what I mean? And this is the time where, like I said, you know Reed is going to impact the game, you know Harris is going to impact the game. Why? Because they got so much pace. Pace destroys people. The last thing you want to see if you're looking over to the sidelines is a quick player coming on. That's the last thing you want to see, especially if you're a defender. So Wayne, I'm with you 100%, and I can't tell you why, I'm afraid. There's only one or two people who can answer that question, and that would be those who are at Cardiff City.
Right, there we go. Next one is from Phil Weston.
All right, Phil.
Blakey, give us some tales from the Eddie May years to cheer us all.
Well, that's just, I'll have to switch my brain. I'll be like, where's the garbage, and change my head just before your time, Ben. Those people of my age and older, Paul, no, he sat there like, you don't know who where's the garbage is, he knows who he is. I can't think of anything right now because I've just been having a rant about Saturday's performance. So, tales from Eddie May days. So, I'll give you a tale when Phil Stanton first signed, and we used to train over Dog Poo Park. Someone told me it's called, what's it called? Jubilee Park? Yeah, someone said to me yesterday, oh yeah, you used to train at Jubilee Park, didn't you? And I was like, where's that? And they were like, opposite the stadium. And I was like, I don't know that place. We used to train at Dog Poo Park. And he's like, oh, that must be the same place. Yeah. I was like, oh, right. To this day, never knew it was called Jubilee Park.
I think Phil Neal christened it, the other one, when he was manager.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, what then? The ball had rolled into some dog poo when we were doing crossing and finishing. And I knew Stanty loved to head the ball. So being troublesome as I was as a 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid, I kind of said, Stanty, yeah, put me in fear. Diving header. I like whipped it, so it just dropped in front, and he diving header, and he went, and yeah, the rest, I'm sure you can use your imagination. So there's one for you to cheer you up.
There we go. I did the job.
All right, Phil.
What's his name again? Who asked?
Phil.
Phil, I can tell you a story. It's not.
Is it the one where I went home?
No. It's not. No, I'm not.
I was going to say that's Len Asher's
page. It's not an actual inside track of the dressing room such. But after the game, you know, today after the game, managers have they'll do Sky and Match of the Day, and then they've got these media officers who sort of, you know, allow you only a certain number of questions, and that's it. And then they bolt, and that's the way it works. They'll sometimes stop and do a separate huddle for the Monday morning newspapers. Yeah, Eddie wasn't like that, right? Eddie would grab the local journalists, and I would, you know, after a game, myself, Rob Phillips, and Carl Woodward, and we would sit in his tiny office under the stairs at Ninian Park. He'd have a fag in his hand.
That's right, yeah.
A bottle of, he'd have a scotch, I think it was, there,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would just shoot the breeze and tell you everything, you know, everything that had gone on in that game. He was absolutely old school.
He was gold dust,
keeping
wasn't he?
The media, the local media on side, because he knew that that was the way to tap into the Cardiff City fan base. He was the absolute archetypal opposite of. Mm. The modern day manager, if you like. Although Neil Warnock is quite old school as well. I think he's great as well in terms of getting the message across to the people. Yeah. Cardiff are lucky to have had the two of them. But I've just got images now of Eddie sat there slumped back in his chair after a win or whatever and having a right go at the attack.
Nice.
You know, yeah, with his that
That's what he's calling me.
You
know. Nice. Nice.
What a great guy.
I'll tell you a story when I stopped Damon Saul beating up Rob Phillips. Giving him twos all the time and turning the fans against him. That was a good story.
Anyway, let's move on.
Alright, next question is from Ash Price. Would Blakey go for Joe Ledley in the summer?
Joe Ledley? Oh god, you threw me there. Yeah. If you can hear rustling, it's just Santa's just come down the chimney. Oh no, it's Paul. No, Joe Ledley. I don't even know where Joe is at the moment.
He's without a club, isn't he? Just doing interviews at the minute, isn't he?
Wasn't he at Derby? Yeah. Wasn't he at Derby last club?
We've just published an interview with him. He doesn't have a club at the moment.
Left Derby in January.
Okay. I don't know, mate. I'm not, like I've said to you before, I don't do the
sentimental
thing, right? I would have to, I'd bring him in on trial for sure. I'd let him, you know, he's done enough for the club to warrant that as a player, so I'd let him come and train pre-season definitely and take a look at him if he wanted to come. If he was without a club, I'd say yeah, come on down pre-season, spend pre-season with us and I'll have a look at you, but there'd be no more promise than that. And if I felt he was still could do a job for me and was, you know, still had that bit of dynamism, he's not quick but he does a lot of unseen good work, Joe does, right? That's what has always been the secret, the key for me. What you don't see, Joe does a lot of good work, you know. He's like a Joe Allen, you know, you don't see, well you see him because he's a scurrier. And he's got that hair swishing around, but, you know, Led's not so much, but still so important. But he's of an age now where you have to say, right, you're on the way down, you're not on the way up. So coming in, you great servant to this club. I would never disrespect you and say, no, not for me. I'd always want to have a look at you. Even if you're 2 years older, I'd still tell you to come in and I'll look at you. If you can do a job for me, I'll take you, but if you can't, I'll say all the best and on you go.
We've spoken to Joe for an article that's gone on Wales Online on Wednesday lunchtime. We've also spoken to him about an article which I think you've contributed towards as well, Blakey, the 10-year anniversary of Ninian Park closing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wales Online and in the South Wales Echo shortly, yeah. But we've spoken to Blakey, a number of fans about their special memories of this iconic ground, and also Joe was the last, Joe captained Cardiff. I didn't realise this, but he actually captained Cardiff in their last game there in 2009 or 8, whenever that was. So lovely piece to be, you know.
Do miss it, man.
He, like you, is absolutely raving about the place. You know,
I miss it.
The incredible sort of memories.
Do you know when you miss someone and you think, I'll just stop thinking about it, and you know, but it's hard because I said yesterday, you know, when you're doing the press, you're coming at the back of Cardiff City, so you have to drive, and it's practically opposite Ninian Park where the houses are, and it's just like, I would have loved to see that redeveloped. I said I don't know why it wasn't redeveloped. There might have been a perfectly good reason, but I would have loved to see Ninian redeveloped into what the new stadium is today. I think history is, as you know, when we went through all the debacle of the red and the badge change and all, I think your history is vital, to be honest with you.
Definitely. One more question. This one comes from, forgive the pronunciation here, David Cugini.
David, spell it then.
C-U-G-I-N.
C-U-G? Did you say?
C-U-G-I-N-I. You're making me think now, Blakey. You're worrying me.
Is that Coine? Would that be?
Cugini? Okay.
It's Italian.
That's not an Italian name.
Okay.
It is. When we go down, as realistically, I don't see us getting any more points.
Yeah, who's it from, mate? Who's it from?
Do we roll with Warnock next season?
Is this David, yeah?
Yeah, this is David, yeah.
Well, people have posed this question to me, and there's like a 50-50 split. There's some say he's the best man to bring you back up, and there's people who say, well, you know, now move on. Personally, my dilemma is I don't think the hierarchy at the club have enough knowledge of football to make good footballing decisions, right? Which then leaves me with, well, leave Neil in place because he can do a job in getting you out of the championship. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of room for the way we currently play. I don't think that is going to, in the next year or two, I think that will definitely become a thing of the past. I can't see anyone getting out of the championship playing that way. I think we were probably the last of the Mohicans, to be honest with you. I think if you look at Norwich, I think if you look at Sheffield United, I think if you look at Derby, I think you look at Notts Forest, I think you look at Aston Villa, I think you look at all those clubs in that top 10, 12, 14, you know, Brentford, teams like that, Preston, they all play a brand of football now, which is, it's different to how we play. And I'm not saying you have to be the same. I'm saying what you do, you adopt that style of play and do it better. Simple as that. Just do it better than everybody else. Like Wolves did. Just do it better than everybody else. Like Norwich did this season. Leeds were on it for a while. Come off, but, you know, I think when we got promoted, we went. I fancied us to go to Wolves and get a result, if you remember, Paul, at the time when Wolves were flying. Because I didn't think Wolves, their players, a lot of them were foreign, I didn't think they would have come up against a team like Cardiff. They were playing teams who play similar ways to them. Well, they play a lot of counter-attack, but football through the lines. So I just think now, I think that's not going to be enough, I don't think, to just be big and powerful. And I think more and more teams are looking at, like, the Manchester Cities now and saying, well, no, you don't need big, strong guys. What you need is footballers. And what you need is pace. Those are the two things that kill any strength. You know, 9 times out of 10, you might get 1 out of 10, you'll win. But 9 times out of 10, the footballer and the pace will beat the big brute, you know, get up and at them sort of style. So me, I would, like I said, it's a dilemma, because I think if Neil goes, then you're asking the hierarchy at Cardiff to put in place something which they should be confident about, and they should have enough of an understanding, but my fear is they don't, for, you know, the club to move forward, because I think it needs to move on to another stage, you know. And I think if you did stick with Neil for next season, then I said last week on air, you know, you need a succession plan for what comes next, who comes next, and you have to have an idea of, you know, the way the philosophy is at our club. You have to understand the fans, you know, they're They're the one constant. You have to understand your fans, what they want to see. Will they sit and watch you play like Arsenal play? Pass, pass, pass. No, they won't. They want to see pass and into the 18-yard box, you know? They want to see football, but they want to see tempo. It is very... That's what even Pep Guardiola realised in his first season, right, I need to win this game in this country. It's about second balls. I can keep the ball all I like, but as soon as I go forward and lose it, my boys ain't there for the knockdown to then go and start and keep and applying pressure. So tactically, you need players who can go and you need the coaching team to go and win the second ball. Then you can really control the game. And that's where I think Cardiff have fallen down this season, because even on the weekend, I think they only had 30% possession, and that has been a problem all season. So, in answer to David's question, I'm sat right on the fence, mate, to be honest with you, and I don't sit on the fence, as you know, but there's a dilemma.
And I get asked this question a lot, Ben. I've been asked it quite a lot recently, and I'm glad Blakey said that, because my answer is, I genuinely see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that Warnock, for me, Warnock has got an awful lot of latitude from me and the fans generally, I think, because of, you know, it's more than just getting Cardiff up. He's reunited the fan base, which was the most important thing for all of us. But then when I hear Blakey say things like, and also I've got my doubts about who would replace him, you know. The last one we need is another Paul Trollope. I think privately one or two at Cardiff might have set their sights on this Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, but that's gone now because they've been promoted. When I hear Blakey say that Cardiff's style of play is going to become obsolete in the Championship soon, that's a bit of a worry, because, you know, as he cites all those teams in Brentford, Swansea, two more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's literally the whole league.
You know, I think back to Aaron Gunnarsson's long throws in the Premier League, and I'm not sure there's been a single goal come off them. Mm. And, you know, it's almost like teams...
City fans, do you want me to give you a name? And there is, I'll be honest with you, there's a slight bias because he's a good friend of mine.
I would stick with Warnock, by the way, personally. I think he's perfect for this football club.
I think he is good for this football club, but I think the problem you have, the dilemma you have, is if he stays... Whether you stay in a Championship or you get promoted, you have to follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, you take the problem out sooner rather than later. I think you give someone the opportunity to develop that club in the Championship the way his team wants to play, the way he wants to play, and then move on to the Premier League in a more offensive fashion then. Yeah, so that you stand a better chance, because people are saying Sheffield United stand a good chance of staying in the Premier League because of the way they play. And they play forward, you know, they got centre-backs crossing the ball. Whether it works or not, we will see. But, you know, that is the way the game's going. But Cardiff fans will all remember Eddie Newton. I know Eddie, I speak to Eddie from time to time. I know he would love a job. I know as far as coaches go, Eddie's still the only British coach with a Champions League trophy. He's coached at League 2 level, League 1 level, Championship level, Premier League level. And people said to me, oh yeah. Someone said to me, oh yeah, but didn't West Brom get relegated? Yeah, Brendan Rodgers like had a nightmare at Watford and Reading. And, you know, what's your point? You know, you're not successful all the time. You're not successful first time out. But if you wanted a person who's within a club structure is arguably been one of the top five clubs in Europe for the last decade, scored goals in cup finals, played in European finals, so he's got that experience, you know, been a number two. And in fairness, since him and Robbie Di Matteo split up, Robbie Di Matteo's never been successful as a manager, so that counts for a lot. I think you really have to do your due diligence, and if I was appointing someone, I would probably look at someone like Eddie Newton. I would probably look at him and go, do you know what? Yeah, you want to be a number one. Speak to people at Chelsea. What's his coaching tactic like? Speak to players at Chelsea. And I mean like your David Luiz's and what have you. They'll tell you the quality of his coaching. he's the head man when it comes to coaching at that club, outside of Sarri and his crew. So for me, great affiliation with the fans, that's really important. Fans are giving latitude, like Paul said, because he's an ex-player and done well. So someone like that I would throw in. But I know he's going to be able to elevate the way you play into that Premier League style quicker than a lot of other people. And you don't do it overnight. You don't make the mistake that Fulham made, just bringing a hat full of players. But it's a gradual, because when you get to the Premier League, you want to get there, stay there, and become an established Premier League club. And I think someone like him, you could, you know, you seriously look at, because I'm telling you, if he does get a job somewhere, wherever he does get, you'll then be coming to me and going, remember when you said that, Blakes? Remember when you said that? I had it on with Rob Phillips about Marco Silva, when they were asking, like, the Swansea manager, and I said him at the time, Marco Silva. If you looked at his record, it was brilliant. And yeah, now where is he? Everton, doing well in the Premier League. So do your due diligence, they're out there. Don't go for the obvious. Simple as that.
There we go. That's, I guess, all the questions for now. We'll have another quick break, and then we'll be back with some footy five. Right, we're back with some footy five. Sorry? Yeah, okay. This is obviously the listener's chance to win yourself £25,000.
25, lads! Cheer me up. Come on.
Fingers crossed, Blakey. Fingers crossed. Here we go. Right, let's get into these predictions, right.
We're there. Did I win 25 lads from last week?
You'd have to take that with Paul.
Paul? You got my money?
That's my knowledge.
Okay. I see you got your pad and pen, but you ain't got my dough. What's going on?
It's piling up this debt, isn't it?
Man, it's about 75 it's like lads
back,
now.
Backdated, isn't it? Like the start of the season. Right, so first one is Bournemouth against Tottenham.
Bournemouth against Tottenham. Tricky one. 3-2 Bournemouth.
3-2. Yeah, okay. West Ham against Southampton.
2-2.
What else we got? We got Wolves against Fulham.
3-0.
3-0.
Wolves, sorry.
Cardiff against Crystal Palace.
Do that one last. What's the other one?
see the frustration and anger in your eyes there, Blake. Newcastle against Liverpool.
Ooh.
Fans are going to be.
I think something's got given this, isn't it? So I'm going to go 1-1.
Could be Rafa's last game at St James's Park, that one.
Against Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, stop them winning the title or something like that. I think that's how it's going to. I've been waiting for that. Something to jump out. I think that's the one. Rafa, former Liverpool, is going to stop his old club winning the title.
There we go. Oh, great scenes if that happens. So yeah, Cardiff, Crystal Palace.
Pardon? Cardiff, Crystal Palace. I don't think it'll be a subdued atmosphere. But I don't think it'll be as heightened as what it would have been had we won. I don't know. Out of Crystal Palace, I'm going to sit on the fence. 2-2.
We'll get your prediction as well on that one, Paul.
I've thought all along this is a shoo-in 1-0 Cardiff win, but I'm beginning to think, like Blakey, there might be goals in this now.
Palace love a penalty, by the way. I've never known a team to have. Well, they had about 15 penalties this year.
They're top scorer. That's,
10 penalties, something like that. He's had.
Yeah.
Go on, Paul. Put me out of my misery.
Oh, crikey. It's so hard, isn't it?
Just don't know what is going to turn up, do you? Don't, like, it would have been easy to read the atmosphere and everything, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
It's hard to read the whole situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's still on, Blakey. It's still on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, see, now you're exactly the same as me. You're in exactly the same place.
I don't know.
It's almost like I don't really want to look at it.
I can't predict because I really do not know.
No, I just don't know.
I really do not know.
Yeah. What do I say? 2-2.
2-2, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do me. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
You, Ben?
1-1. I think if Palace scores, it's just...
It'll kill Cardiff. It'll Cardiff just, have to score first.
Yeah.
Right? And then the fans will drive them on to possibly a win.
Yeah.
But if Palace score first...
Just sucks.
I think the best Cardiff can get a point out of the game if Palace score first. Yeah. I can't see him coming back and winning. But hey, stranger things have happened. Fingers crossed, toes crossed, eyes crossed.
There we go. And that's it for quite a sort of cathartic sort of Blakey's Boom.
It's been wonderful. It's been, there was a disappointing end to what was a big build-up, and, you know, I think most people thought we'd be in a slightly different position. And like I said, it's not biased, me being biased. I just generally thought we'd be in a position still to be able to strike. And we kind of are, but, you know, it's like that sun is just, that moon is just passing in front of the sun, and it's just almost eclipsed, almost. It's almost there. But.
Indeed it is. It's Cardiff is still alive. It's very slim, but you can catch all the build-up and all the action from the Crystal Palace game on Wales Online.